Amen. You may be seated. Very true song. That when trouble is in my way, I don't know about you. I do pray sometimes. I mourn for the condition of the church. I try to teach as often as I possibly can those that will listen. But I already know that Jesus will fix it. Amen. After a while. Good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I know we have many that are sick and afflicted. Want to encourage you to hold to God's unchanging hand, because he will fix it after a while. And I'm learning that God doesn't move the way we want him to move. He moves in his own time. And I'm reminded of what Peter would say to the church in 2 Peter chapter 3. And round about verse number 8, he writes these words to remind the believer that God is going to hold fast to what he has promised. You know, there's about 14 days before this year is over with. Wow. And I don't know about you, as I stop and as I look at my condition, not yours, I ask myself, am I doing all I can do for the Lord? Amen. Not going to beat myself. I'm going to repent and focus and refocus. But as this year starts to close out, and as we look for 2016, I want to take the time to remind you, to encourage you, to help you to see that one day we're going to stand before his judgment seat. And I don't know about you. I don't want to have no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I want to be able to stand with the confidence, with the reassurance that come from the Word of God. And so I'm reminded of what Peter would say to the church here. In verse number 8, he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." You know, you can shuck and jive all day long, but God is not like you and I. And when I stop and think about how he's going to hold me accountable, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. As a gospel preacher, as a servant, I have to stop and I inventory and I really ask myself a question: are we doing all we can do for the Lord? Because when I look at the condition of the world and I look at the condition of the church, there ought to be a difference, should it not be?
Amen.
Even though the world is going downhill, should the church be going the same way?
No.
We should be the most excited,
amen,
the most motivated,
amen,
the most enthused. That's all right. I got one amen if I ain't got no more. That's all right. Because somewhere down the line, either we believe what we believe or why even go through the motions? That's just the kind of person that I am. And so as I look at what Peter says here, Peter says God is not slack concerning his promise. What promise has he made to you and I? He reminds us, as if we surrender our will to his will, that in the days following we can have a good life. And when life is over with, he has promised us a place eternal in the heavens. He's not slack in concerning his promise. But look at what he says. In verse number 9, he says, "But he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what?"
Repentance.
Oh, I could spend the next 2 hours right there. Well, some of us need to repent. Maybe the church as a whole need to repent. Because when we look at the lost souls around us, when we look at how fragmented we are, how wishy-washy, I'm not talking about y'all, but if I'm down your street, how you doing? Maybe we need to repent and get back on the right track. But that's not my lesson, but I couldn't help but to tell you what Peter says. But look at what he says in verse number 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Verse number 11 gives me the confidence and the reassurance as a Christian, no matter what transpires, if I stay focused on what God promised, I'm not going to worry about a thing. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm learning that if I do what God says, Things don't always go my way, but guess what? It always worked out for my way. Amen. Hey, because when you do things what God says, God has promised us something. And he says in verse number 11, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person? Now, we already know what kind of world we live in.
Yeah.
Crime runs rapid. Children are disobedient to their parents. And let me drop this in. Us grown folks are disobedient to our parents.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God tells us to love one another with agape love, and we have to think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He tells us to assemble on the first day of the week. Yeah, y'all looking at me funny. And we have to think about it. Are we disobedient to our Father? Yes, we are. And so not only are children disobedient, but we're disobedient because God requires something of each and every one of us. This is not the lesson. This is just to get a prelude before we get to the lesson, okay? He goes on to say, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? I want you to look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, what kind of person are you? Huh? I mean, ask that person with a sincere heart. Am I truly the light of the world? Or have my light become a little dim? Am I truly what God requires of me? Because Peter here raises the question. He says that seeing that all of this is going to happen, we ought to be a special type of people, should we not?
Amen.
We ought to be the most loving. Are we? The most dedicated.
Amen.
Oh boy, y'all quiet. The most committed people on the face of the earth. And see, and we don't need a season.
Nope.
Or do we?
No.
No, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be the example that the world needs to see. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 13, he says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you might be found in him in peace without spot and blemish. Do you notice, do you hear what Peter's saying? One day God's going to call us all into question. And when he calls us into question, what's going to be your response? You know how you give me a response. Amen. You know how you show up when you... let me go on. That's not my lesson. Philippians chapter 3 is where I want to go this morning. But church, this might be my last one. And I want you to know that God's going to hold each and every one of us accountable for what we don't do for him. He's gave us two commandments. And is it that difficult to do? Huh? Is it that difficult to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind? I guess it is when your mind is on everything but him.
That's right.
Huh? I guess it is. Two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Well, what does that mean? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him what? Deny who?
Himself.
Well, what does that mean? Put yourself on the shelf and take Jesus off the shelf. Somewhere down the line, if this thing is really going to play out in our Christian life to make the influence that the world needs to see, we have to understand some things. He says, seeing that these things are going to be dissolved, he says, what manner of person ought we to be? We ought to be the most excited. Why? Because we've been forgiven of our sins. I don't know about you. When I stop and think about the sin that I created and that I didn't have to pay for, boy, that makes me excited. He died on the cross and I don't have to pay for none of that mess that I've done. Boy, glorify God. That's why when it's time to assemble, I don't need you to tell me when. Why? Because I know what he did on the cross. And somewhere down the line, this registers and it plays out in our everyday life. He says, seeing then that these things should be dissolved, he says, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Does the world need Jesus?
Yes.
Amen.
And we're going to get him next Sunday.
Uh-oh.
I missed a couple of y'all, but that's okay. No, it has to be every day of our life. But this morning, Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 16. I said all of that just to get you going this morning. Just to get your heart pumping and to remind you the time is short. I hope and pray that we all make 2017. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. But one guarantee that I can give you, that if you hold to God's unchanging hand in the midst of everything you go through, if he takes you out of here and you are faithful to him, he's promised you a place eternal in the heaven. Now that's a guarantee that I can make from the book. But I want to encourage us that as this year draws to a close, I want to remind you and encourage you, don't lose sight of what God is all about. I know we're busy going about doing our thing and going every way but the way in which God, but don't be absent-minded and putting him first and foremost. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And as I stop and I reflected upon that, well, what do you mean, Jesus? I can serve you on Sunday and be myself Monday through Saturday. Can I not? He said, no man can serve two masters, for you'll either love one and you'll hate the other, or you'll hate the other and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and man. And so I want to encourage us that as this year unfolds, stop and take time to reflect upon what you did this year for the Lord. Notice I didn't say for yourself. Because we always take an inventory of ourselves. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you get paid once a week, you already inventoried how much. If you get paid once a month, you done already inventory. And you know, and if he's not number one, you put him by 4 or 5. Not only financially, but where is he at spiritually in our lives? And so in this text here, the Apostle Paul, I believe, gives us some insight on things that we ought to look forward for. You know, as this year draws to a close, church, I want you to just stay focused. Don't allow the holidays, don't allow this new year to focus you on everything but Jesus Christ. And we live in a world, and that is what it is designed to do. It's designed to take our minds and place it on everything but what God says to do. So in Philippians chapter 3, and round about verse number 13, Paul writes these words to encourage the believer, to remind the believer, and to help the believer to see the importance of staying on track. And I don't know about you. Anybody in here gets lazy? Anybody in here get lazy? Sometimes you don't even be bothered with yourself. Anybody? Some of y'all feel me? And when you don't want to be bothered with yourself, you really don't want to be bothered with the Lord. Come on, y'all. Fess up. You know, Peter says y'all will repent. And I want to just encourage us, though, as this year draws to a close, look at what you've done for the Lord. Better yet, look at what you haven't done for the Lord. One of the things we ought to be able to say that I've done for the Lord is I've kept myself unspotted from the world. Huh? One thing I ought to be able to say that when it was time to worship the Lord, I worshiped him how? In spirit and in truth. That should be some definite things about us that ought to be evidence to the world in which we live in. And so Paul, as he writes these words to the believers, he writes these words to encourage their hearts and to remind him that he's going to stay on track because there are some things he's going to get out of. And he talks about giving up some stuff. He talks about moving forward. And he talks about not looking back, but reminding myself what's behind you. Anybody in here know what's behind you? Yeah. Huh? What's behind you?
Heartache.
Miserable. Pain. Suffering. Oh, y'all got that now? See, because when you really look to Jesus, even in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, does not he give you a way of an escape? Yeah. Does he not comfort your heart and give you the reassurance that if you trust me, no matter what transpires, that even in death, you have the victory? Mm-hmm. Church, we serve an awesome God. And when the more I think about what he's done for me and the more that I think about what he will do, church, it motivates me and drives me to a higher point. So look at what Paul says. As this year draws to a close, Paul says in verse number 13, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting what I didn't do last year. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. It's 2017. It's coming up, and I've already told Brother Johnson and Brother Henry, I'm ready.
Amen.
I want to end this year though ready. That's right. It's time to get busy because Apple Valley needs somebody to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
The question is, who will it be? Somebody should have said, here am I. Come on, y'all. Here am I. Send me. And so Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, pressing, moving forward, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be mature or perfect, be thus minded. And if anything otherwise minded, God shall even reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk how? By the same rules. Let us what? Mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us as an example. Title is Stay Focused. 14 days and counting. How focused are you on the will of the Father? In this text here, the Apostle Paul reminds us that he's forgotten that he used to persecute the church. He has forgotten that he held the coat of an individual as they stoned him to death. He says, forgetting those things, but he's constantly reaching forward to make his calling and election sure. I want to encourage us as 2016 draws to a close, and if God so happens to let us done 2017, let us have a mindset that we're going to go out and seek and save the lost. Let us have a mindset that we're going to change the body of Christ within here, and we're going to change the city in which we live in. But see, that requires each and every one of us. That requires every one of us to make a commitment that we're going to make the difference in the lives of someone else.
Amen.
Paul here reminds us to stay focused and don't allow Satan to sidetrack us from doing the will of the Father. The devil has but one purpose, and that purpose is to pull us from our steadfastness. I want to remind you and encourage you that as this year draws to a close, I want to remind you I'm the watchman. My job is to warn you and to encourage you and to help you to see that if you're not on the right track, you need to repent and get on the right track. It's just that simple. It's so simple, that's why we don't do it. It's that simple, huh? Ezekiel chapter 33 and round about verse number 1. Listen to these words of the prophet as he warns God's people. And I just want to encourage our hearts, but I want to warn us at the same time. We are not guaranteed tomorrow.
No.
We're not even guaranteed the rest of the day or the next few seconds.
No.
But I want to encourage you to make your calling and election sure that when death knocks on your door, you'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The prophet Ezekiel said, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him as a watchman, if when he sees the sword coming up on the land, and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever heeds the sound of the trumpet and not waver, if the sword cometh and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Do you understand what the prophet is saying here? Do you see danger coming? Do you see the world in which we live in is about to change drastically? You don't? Well, you must have on blinders. Because the world we live in is about to change, and it might not change for the good. And if it's going to change, you and I need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. That's why it's so important that you surrender your will to the will of God. So when the change comes, you will be steadfast in your Christian walk. And so the prophet here says, when you see it coming and you warn the people and the people take heed, it be upon their own hand. But look at what he says about the watchman. Verse number 6, he says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword cometh and take any person from among them, he will take away his iniquities. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Oh, no. Oh, no. Church, I want to encourage you, stay on track. If you're not doing what God says, just get busy doing it. Why? Because there's going to come a time. Point number one, Stay prepared in your service to God. If you're not prepared, get prepared. Stay on track by keeping your mind focused on the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, that it may teach you, admonish you, that it'll build you up. Not only that, must you be prepared, you must study God's Word each and every day. And I don't mean you have to pick up and read every book in the Bible, but read something that will encourage your heart so you can encourage someone else. Do you think people out there in the world need some help?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are they going to get it from? Somebody raise their hand. It comes from us. And when we decide to take what God has blessed us with and encourage others, guess what? The world we live in will change. Stay prepared, church. And the way you stay prepared is keeping your mind focused on the Word of God. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist said, he meditates how? Day and night. Why do you want to meditate day and night? Because you'll be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that'll bring forth fruit in its seasons. Its leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Church, I want to encourage you as this year draws to a close, take an inventory of where you stand in the sight of the Lord. On a scale of 1 to 10, where is he really? And see, and only you can answer that, because he knows that you know that I know that he knows that you know that I know that he knows that you know where you stand. So I want to encourage you, church, as this year draws to a close, make some preparations for the new year and put him first and foremost. And I guarantee you, your life will take on a whole new meaning. Point number 2, it is time. That's right. It's time. It's time for you to make a decision on which direction you really want to head for the Lord. And I don't know about you. You know, it's easy to talk it.
Yes.
It's easy to talk this thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. And you know what? You can pretend like you're doing it. Amen, Walls. Yeah. You don't have to amen it, I know. But somewhere down the line, it's high time that we really ask ourselves a question. If he came right now, what would he say to you? You ever thought about that? I know we don't like to think about death because it's morbid. No, it's a Passover into the new world. But if he came right now, and if he was to single you out right now, what would he say to you?
He wouldn't be happy.
And he ought to be. Why? Because he's given us everything we need to serve him on this time side of life. But see, that's what the devil does. See, the devil don't want you to be sincere, Gabe. You know, he wants you to put your mind that you're doing all right. But see, the honest heart is the heart that Jesus is looking for. Now, Peter said, maybe we all need to repent. Amen. Lord, I've fallen short. I don't know about you. I'm constantly asking for forgiveness. You know why? Because when I look at you and I, and am I your brother's keeper? Huh? Are we?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Amen.
And so when I get in your business?
You should.
Oh, I shouldn't? Oh, okay.
You should.
Oh, I should. Church, if we really love the Lord, guess what? We got to learn how to love him, because this is our dress rehearsal.
Okay, now.
You ever been in a play?
Yes.
And you had a dress rehearsal?
Yes.
You're supposed to put on a blue jacket and you came out with a white one?
Uh-oh.
Are you really ready to play the role? We have a dress rehearsal as Christians.
All right, now.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We're supposed to be the light. 14, 15, 14. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But are we really the light? Are we really the salt? Church, I want to encourage you, stay on track, and as this year draws to a close, do not forget who's brought you this far. God has brought us a mighty long ways. And I don't know about you, when I stop and look at my life, I'm not talking about yours, when I look at my life, Father, I've fallen short of your glory. And I just need you to restore in me the right spirit.
That's right.
That I might love your people, because they are yours. And I'm constantly reminding myself, they belong to you. Some of them are so disobedient. Some of them are so cantankerous. Oh, yeah. This might be my last one, but I'm going to go on and tell you like it is. But they're your people, Lord. You love them, and I got to love them just like you love them. But, church, I don't want to be neglecting telling you that one day he's going to call us all into service. And I don't know about you. I don't want your blood on my hand. I got enough of my own problems without having your blood. But the key is, let's forget those things that we didn't do. Let's focus on what we're going to do. Luke 19, verse number 10. This year comes, we're going to seek and save more of the lost. We're going to make ourselves more available to those that stand in need. And we're going to start in the house.
Amen.
Before we can get outside of the house. Amen. I want to encourage you and remind you, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, and I move toward the mark. I press toward the goal for the high calling of Jesus Christ. And church, like I said, it is time. Romans chapter 13, as I close. Paul writes these words to the believer, reminding the believer that it's high time that you wake up. How can you be asleep with your eyes open? I know a lot of folks that are asleep with their eyes open. And so Paul here writes these words to remind the believer it is time, it is high time that we wake up. Look at what he says. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that it's high time to wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And you know, and I've been pondering that for the past couple days. What are you talking about? Well, 35, 40 years ago, I didn't think about salvation. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But 40 years later, is salvation closer than it was when I first began? Yeah. And when I stop and think about 64, 65 in a few months, 3 score and 10. Is salvation closer than what it was when I first began?
Yes.
Then why am I playing around? Why am I pretending? Oh, y'all quiet. I'm just asking some questions. Because Paul here says that salvation is closer now than it was when we first began. But look at what he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting, drunkenness, or chambering, or wantingness, not in spite or envious, but put the Lord Jesus Christ on and make no provisions for the flesh. You hear what he's saying here? He said, if we put Jesus on, you ain't got to worry about anything else. If you keep Jesus where he belongs, first and foremost in our lives, we don't have to worry about the old physical man because he's promised he'll take care of everything else. As we close, church, I just want to encourage your heart. I hope and pray that I've said something just to remind us. God is going to call us into his judgment seat one day. And I don't want to know about you. If I go to court, I want to be ready.
Yep.
That's right. And I am willing to pay top dollar for the best attorney.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me? I want you to hear me. And I paid top dollar when I went in the water.
All right.
And I got the best attorney
in
the world that stands before the judgment seat and says and pleads my case. He belongs to me. And church, that's the kind of confidence we ought to have on this time side of life. Do I do everything right? No, pretty close. Pretty close. But what makes it so good, church, is to know that he died on the cross that I don't have to pay the price. And that ought to motivate us and drive us to a higher plateau. Want to encourage your church, stay on track. As the year draws to a close, make your calling and election sure by keeping your mind focused on what God requires of each and every one of us. I want to encourage you and remind you that God wants his servants to be dedicated, motivated, and enthused in doing the will. Why? Because our salvation is closer now than when we first began. Want to encourage you, if you haven't been serving the way God requires, repent, get on the right track. If you're not doing what God requires of each and every one of us, repent, get on the right track, because tomorrow is not promised to nobody, not even the next few minutes. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known together we stand and sing.